Tell me a little bit about this alpha training. Exactly what do you do? Let's say I come in for the session. What do you do with me? And take it from there.
Well, you need to take a week's vacation because you're going to be there 7 consecutive days, 12 to 14 hours a day. When you arrive, you're shown around, given a little tour, and we have these 5 chambers. They're like inner spaceships, and you pick one. They vary in size, although they're functionally all the same. And then you come to a conference room, and you have a PowerPoint presentation that gives you some clues as to what's going to happen, orientation. And the technicians then move around behind you and the other 4 trainees and measure your heads and put gold disc electrodes on the surface of your scalp. And this is to pick up the brainwaves, which are very tiny signals. They're only a few millionths of a volt. And so the contact has to be very low resistance. And then these are all plugged into a little head box you wear around your neck. And then you go off to the chambers. And the first thing you do is when you're plugged in, you take these computerized mood scales. Now, the mood scales, originally, I wanted some extra insight into people doing the training. So I tried bringing in psychics. And I found that, you know, psychics would have a good day and they'd have a bad day. And when I realized it just wasn't going to work was when a psychic walked into the room and there were like daggers flashing between the eyes of the psychic and
right.
the trainees. They just didn't like each other. So I realized I was going to have to make the whole process mathematical, scientific, and repeatable. And so I wrote a computer program which basically allows the detection of emotions which exist within you but are below the level of your conscious awareness. These can be good emotions, they can be bad emotions. And the thing is, since they're in the unconscious, well, what a waste if you feel joy and happiness in your unconscious. You know, let's bring those up into the daylight and have you live them.
Sure.
And if it's negative emotions like anger, fear, hatred, sadness, they can be ruling your life, but you can't do anything about it because you don't know they're there. So these mood scales bring this stuff up to the surface, and then it becomes, in the conversation that happens at the end of the day, it becomes a way to discover what's going on in your unconscious. Usually it's related to some trauma or some painful event in your life or someplace you got scared or you made a decision not to participate in life, some key event. And once we can find that, then you can go into the chamber the next day and do forgiveness on it. But that's jumping ahead. So you do the first set of mood scales, and then there's some baselines. Eyes open, we measure your brainwaves, and eyes open, lights on, door open. And we close the door, you turn out the lights, close your eyes, and we measure your brainwaves when you're sitting there in the dark. Then we have a white noise condition where you listen to white noise with beeps that occur at random intervals, and you count the beeps. And then you report your count to the technician. And then there are 2 types of feedback. One is where you practice lowering your alpha. We're talking about, you know, the entry point to all the advanced mm-hmm. training programs is the alpha 1. And then a little later you practice raising your alpha. Now, you're going to hear your brainwaves from 4 different places on your head as 4 different musical notes. And when the alpha gets big at one site, that note gets louder. And every 2 minutes, the music stops, you open your eyes, and you got scores that show up on a screen in front of you that quantify the energy that you put out. And so, like all learning, it's trial and error. So you try things and see if the music gets louder or if it gets softer, and then you see what your scores are. And at the end of the day, there's a second set of mood scales where you describe how you felt in your moments of highest alpha. Then there's a few more baselines just to see, you know, what your brain is doing now after the training. And then you leave the chamber, your lectures are taken off, you go to the restroom, and then you go to a room where we have 5 canopy beds. And you pick one and you lie in there and the trainer comes in with a little video camera on a table. And then every person gets interviewed about their experiences and coached. And so you get to not only report and get coaching yourself, you get to see what happens to the other people. And so you get clues and ideas, strategies, things to try.
What happens to people, Jim? I mean, do they get tuned in to the universe? Do they have a breakdown? What are some of the things that happen?
Well, they don't have breakdowns. They have breakouts and breakthroughs. It turns out that any interesting state of consciousness is going to have a well-defined pattern of brainwaves. I've been several times to India studying brainwaves on the gurus, and I've also studied Zen monks, including several Zen masters.
See a difference in brainwaves with them?
Oh, a huge difference.
Huge.
Yeah. In fact, in one study done in Japan, good study, Kasamatsu and Harai, did work with both Soto Zen and Rinzai Zen. They're the two main branches of Zen. And they got the Zen masters of the monks in each of these different traditions to rate the monks for level of spiritual development. And then, you know, beginner, intermediate, and advanced. So the Zen masters just looked into the people and, you know, said, okay, this guy's advanced, this is beginner, and so on. It had nothing to do with how long they'd been practicing. It was their spiritual advancement. So then they sat them down, put wires on their head, and measured their brainwaves while they were meditating. Well, the first thing they noticed was the greater the rating of spiritual development, the more alpha waves they had in their meditation record. That's cool. So a correlation between the electrophysiology of the brain and rated level of spiritual development by the Zen masters. But there were nuances. And it happened this way. As they went from beginner to intermediate, the alpha increased initially at the back of the head. Then it spread forward on the head, and as they got into the intermediate, advanced level of the intermediate, the alpha started to slow. And then there was one change that was seen only in the most advanced. Now, nobody was rated advanced who had less than 21 years of daily practice of Zen. And some people had to go 40 years before they were rated advanced.
My gosh.
And that was, that those additional changes were this slowing of the alpha, and the slow alpha spread forward on the head. And then at the frontal sites, just above the eyes, there were the emergence of theta waves. Well, what's interesting, when I've analyzed my data that I, you know, ran in university research studies, that exact pattern, increasing alpha at the back of the head, spreading forward on the head, alpha slowing, the slow alpha spreading forward on the head, and the emergence of frontal theta, that happens to ordinary non-meditating Americans who do the 7-day Alpha 1 training.